At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is Hardwood Handicappers, VSiN's premier NBA betting podcast. Here are your hosts, Jonathan Von Tobel and Kelly Bidlin.
All right, folks, what up and welcome in. It is the hump day edition of Hardwood Handicappers. Kelly Bidlin alongside. Yeah, you know, we're going to keep it. That's the personality of the podcast.
That also just triggered my Alexa. Did you just hear that?
No, I didn't really.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear about the story? This like 2 or 3 years ago. It was right around the pandemic time that the Alexas were like, they had this uprising, and they would randomly do one of two things. They would randomly laugh without like any provocation.
What? Oh my god, scare the crap out of me.
Oh, you want to be scared even further? How about this? Or they would randomly give directions to the nearest mortuary.
What the hell?
Right.
That has to be like a hacker thing or something, right?
Like that totally has to be. You said, the fact that Alexa like would just randomly laugh is already creepy enough of it in its own right, right? Like it would just like, ha, like, you know.
Yeah, but the
fact that then it would just be like, the closest place to all of the fellow dead humans is like this way. And it's like, wow, that's wild.
The other one's like as usual, I'm starting off on a tangent. But mine will get triggered by the TV sometimes, but like, not even when they're saying the A word. I don't want to say it out loud right now because mine's going to actually get triggered by it. But like, who ever thought it was a good idea to make commercials about them and then say that name? Because anybody who owns one, it just sits here then the whole time going bing, 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 bing. I'm like, oh my God, shut up.
I am fascinated too. The Alexa thing's fascinating because I also have two small children and they don't know life without Alexa. And it's not like it's like some world-beating thing, right? But like, you know, getting the weather.
I use it just for music.
Right, yeah. I use it for music and the weather, right? Like, that's all I really use it for. And we set reminders. So like, you know, hey, it's time for Diego to take his pill, whatever. His vitamins, perfect. Not pills. Yeah. He's not sickly. But it's interesting because like my youngest one, like he's kind of getting more aware. So he just, every time she speaks, it's like this disembodied voice from the corner of the room. And he just like freaks out. And he kind of like, just like, what the hell is that?
I mean, that's what it's like for me, even when I'm talking to him. I'm like, it's weird that you're talking back to me right now. Shut up, computer.
It is. Also weird. How about this? The market for the number 2 overall pick in the NBA draft.
Whoa, so, that escalated quickly.
So the Kelly comes on Monday. And let me ask you, before we get into what's happened over the last like 48 hours. Did you have an inkling that this was going to happen, or is this something that just caught your eye and you were like, hey, I want to bring this up on the podcast?
That was just something that caught my eye because DraftKings had just posted the market. I think you caught even one of the later ones. I think we got done recording in less than 2 hours later.
Yep.
I was sitting around watching TV, NBA Live or something, and Woj brings it up. I was like, okay. Well, I guess that was good timing.
So we bring this up because we were focusing on really the second overall pick. And Kelly's overall point was, and correct me anytime if I'm wrong, I don't want to put words in your mouth, is that like, are we really sure that Scoot Henderson is like this massive favorite to go second overall? Do we not think that Brandon Miller from Alabama might have a shot here to be the second pick in this NBA draft?
And really all I was doing was I was laying out their stats for the season, for their individual seasons, both collegiate for Brandon Miller and G League for Scoot Henderson, right? That's all I was doing. I don't have any inside info or anything like that. I'm not going there. I'm just literally looking at stats.
And at the time you brought this up, Brandon Miller was what to go second overall?
Plus 850.
Okay. In the following 48 hours, Brandon Miller has dropped to plus 185 to go second overall. Now, one would say, wow, Kelly's moving markets. But it's weird. It is such weird timing.
It is.
Because literally like an hour, I think, after Kelly decides to bring this up for fun, Adrian Wojnarowski releases a podcast with Jonathan Givony. And the main topic is essentially, I'll put words in their mouth, Scoot Henderson might actually kind of stink. Brandon Miller might have some more information coming out that not exonerates him, but makes him look a lot less culpable in the incident that happened with one of his teammates that resulted in the loss of life of another human being. And that all of these things kind of put together, and this is Woj's words, I think I'm going to text it to you because I actually quoted it, or I texted it to you. Let me see if I can get the text right
about,
in front of me.
It's, what, about Scoot being shut down?
Right. No. It was Woj in his podcast telling Givony, there is, quote, there is a growing sense in the NBA that Brandon Miller is becoming the second best prospect in this draft. And I'm listening to this podcast right after Kelly, right? And the podcast the day before I was talking about this. I'm like, holy smokes. I'm like, what timing? I'm texting Mitch Moss about this. And then even later, we get the report that the G League Ignite are shutting Scoot Henderson down because they feel like they've shown enough, or he's shown enough. And that all leads to this moment right now where Scoot Henderson, still a massive favorite to go second overall, but has now dropped to minus 400, and Brandon Miller is plus 185. What in the world?
It's been a wild few days, man. Hey, we're just moving markets here on Hardwood Handicappers. That's how it works, JVT. That's the way you got to look at it. Okay?
And you know what? You know what's dumb? And this is why I hate things like this, okay? I was searching high and low. I'm like, dude, I got to find something on this, right? I got to find something on this else. You know, see if there's other numbers. Want to get a better price. See if there's something out there. And then sure enough, as I'm searching, it's just going.
Right. You and I were texting back and forth about it yesterday. And it was like every time we went to text each other, it was like, oh, no, it just dropped another dollar or two. Like, nope, just dropped. I don't really get the. And for people that missed the pod Monday, it's all I pointed out is that we've got for Brandon Miller and me literally watching him in, like, I'm not going to lie to anybody. I'm not the biggest college basketball guy. We do an NBA podcast. I'm wrapping up most of my time at night watching the NBA, not college basketball. So I've really been watching Brandon Miller for really about the past, I don't know, 4 to 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. You know, I've caught probably six games of his. He's a 6'9" wing player that's shooting 40% from three. Sorry, but anybody who knows the NBA knows that that is one of the prototypical type players you are looking for in the NBA. Right. Scoot Henderson, I mean, I was blown away by this guy. I got to go watch him play in one of those games against Victor Wembanyama. He lit it up and at times looked like the better of the two players on the court. There is no doubt about that. But you start looking at what he's done, and Woj, I thought, put it well, where it was, okay, that game occurred, that exhibition game occurred, between those two teams, and going into the college basketball season, because the college basketball season hadn't even started yet. It was still, a month or two away from even starting. It was that we had basically declared that this was 1 and 2 in the draft, and that almost nothing that could happen in the college basketball season was going to change that. And I'm not sitting here to argue that Brandon Miller has necessarily played his way into that argument for the number two spot. It's more that Scoot Henderson, I think, has played his way out of that lock for the number two spot. And it's a 19-game sample size, so I get it. But he's scoring over 17.5 points a game. That's great. He's got 5 rebounds, over 6.5 assists per game. But he's shooting 27.5% from three. And I just don't know how that's not concerning for any NBA team that's looking at a 6'2" guard. I mean, guards to shoot that poorly from three in the NBA have to have a set of skills elsewhere that is almost unseen, right, JVT? Mm-hmm. And I don't know that Scoot's in that category.
Absolutely. And I think the other way that Woj and Givony put it when they were talking about it on the podcast, Kelly, which I thought was a really good way to put it, is Brandon Miller, you draft him, you're plugging him in and you're fine. He's going to play off ball. He's going to be able to have his game. He's going to be able to do it. You draft Scoot Henderson, he's got to be a lead ball guy. He's got to have the ball in his hands all the time. He's got to be your higher usage dude. That's the way that he is most effective. He's not going to be an on-ball type of dude. And in today's NBA, where some of these off-ball guys that fit in more of the archetype of a Brandon Miller, they're becoming a little bit more valuable, right? Yes. Like, and if you look at the guys that were drafted near the top of the draft just this last year, like, is Paolo Banchero Can he be ball dominant? Sure. But does he work off ball as well, really well? Yeah, and he does a lot of other different things. We know what Chet Holmgren's going to be when he finally hits a basketball floor. Jabari Smith Jr., same deal. So I thought that was a really good way to put it as well. Like, when you're just looking at the archetype of this player, that it would make a little bit more sense that Brandon Miller is going to become more attractive for
teams. I think these guys were saying it too. I think I heard them say it on TV somewhere too. It's just the, like, kind of like you're saying, you can plug Brandon Miller in anywhere. It's kind of like we were talking about with Kevin Durant the other day, right? Like, you don't have to.
Are you comparing Brandon Miller to Kevin Durant?
Like, you don't have to change what you're doing offensively. Scoot Henderson, great. If he's a great player, that's awesome. But if you have a guard that shoots that poorly from three and needs to be that ball dominant, like you're talking about, you basically have to redesign your entire team around that guy. Yeah. Because you can't have much guys out there that can't shoot a three, right? That's not going to work in the NBA. So, I don't know. I think it's interesting. I mean, is it probably got... I would say for people out there now, like, if you're really scratching to bet this, like, okay, give it some time and see where this market kind of settles in and what Brandon Miller maybe does in the tournament, because it's already moved so much, right, JVT? But like, you could almost... Though. Yeah.
Let me ask you something, though. So, it has moved, right? But, like, just because it's moved, right? Like, I would never... How do I put this?
Like, if just he goes number two, he goes number two. It doesn't matter what number you bet.
Right, and just because you missed out on 8-1, if you're still looking at it at plus 185, and if everything we're talking about is legit, and I think Adrian Wojnarowski's words carry a lot of weight when it comes to something like this. And when Adrian Wojnarowski says that there is a growing sense that Brandon Miller has become the second-best prospect in the NBA, well, I would look at a prop for second overall pick, and I see Scoot Henderson at minus 400. I still think that's mispriced. If we're believing in what Adrian Wojnarowski is saying, which I would, correct? Because he's pretty connected when it comes to this stuff. Is Brandon Miller at plus 185 still not playable? Like, I know we missed out at 8-1 and 9-1 or whatever it is, but how is plus 185 still not playable, especially if by the time we get to draft time over the summer, what if he's minus 400?
Yeah, no, I hear you. I guess what I'm saying is I would want an additional report or something more of this chatter to occur again before I got in at that number. Because I hear what you're saying. We get too wrapped up, right, where we try to mention this a lot. That word value is overused too much. If a bet gets home, it gets home. Doesn't matter what the hell number you bet it at, right? It's still, if he's drafted number two overall, who cares, you know, if someone got plus 850, if you got plus 185, whatever, you still got a bet that won. Right. I hear you on that. The problem is with this kind of market is because there's other names that you technically have to include, you're comparing a minus 400 to a plus 185, right? And that's the, like, no, there's no way in hell you're going to bet that minus 400. There's no way you should be doing that with Scoot Henderson. I'm just saying, I don't know if I'm running to bet Brandon Miller at plus 185. I'd maybe wait for either an additional report or two, or, you know, wait and see how this first weekend or two of the NCAA tournament goes, right? I mean, like, that's the thing, is he can really only, to me, JVT, his stock can only continue to rise. I don't think it's going to get worse, Brandon Miller. I mean, he'd have to put up a stinker of an NCAA tournament.
So, but here's the thing, and this is where it's dangerous, right? And I was texting with Ian McDonald about this just the other day, because he was in on this whole second draft pick thing too. So Alabama plays, what, Thursday, I believe? Right, I think they play on Thursday. Let me double check. I got this right here. Yeah, they play on Thursday. Okay, this market is in front of odds makers in that they've been adjusting it, so they're keeping an eye on it now. Yeah. Okay, it's not just some throwaway market that they put up there to sit around. They threw it up. They probably got some action on it too. They've adjusted it. So now, essentially, what I'm saying is it's flagged, for lack of a better term.
Yes, correct.
If Miller goes out there against Texas A&M Corpus Christi and just smokes him,
drops 38.
Right.
Yeah.
This plus 185 is gone.
It's gone. No, you're right. You're right.
And this moves more. Now, here's the problem, and I think your point is really sound here. DraftKings has clearly hung this market up with an extremely high hold percentage, because Scoot Henderson is minus 400. Brandon Miller is plus 185. That alone, the implied probability is, I think, 115%, I have that correct. And it might be even more, right? So, like, there's clearly a massive hold on this market. But what my whole thing is when I see this, even at a market, the price the way that it is, you're saying you want one more report. What I'm saying is this market is saying there's an 80% chance that Scoot Henderson's going number two. And I've got one credible reporter that says there's a growing sense, at least, that the second guy on this market might be actually ahead of him. So I think in terms of pricing, right, you see where I'm getting?
Yep.
That plus 185 is still worth it.
Yep. I like it. And the immediacy with which this market can move again, as you correctly pointed out, I think you've actually just changed my mind in the past 3 minutes.
Right, because if they go out there, he smokes Texas. And by the way, it's a 16 seed in Alabama. Right. There's a pretty good shot that Miller's going to have a pretty good game.
That's where, essentially what we're saying here is what is more likely to happen, right? Is it more likely to happen that he has a bad NCAA tournament or a good NCAA tournament? Well, he's the best player on the best team in the country, right? Or one of the best players on one of the best teams in the country, okay? Don't want to offend any big-time college basketball guys out there. God, sorry UCLA fans or whoever. But we know that to be true. Also, what's more likely to happen? He has a crap game against a 16 seed or he has a really good game against the 16 seed? So I'm with you. I think all that stuff, it's pretty clear that stuff's more likely to happen, and therefore this number's only going to move in one direction. That's another thing to hit on too, right, JVT? Nobody out there, except for, big time bettors, would be laying minus 400 in this market at this point in the year. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know that, this is all one way action that this market's going to see. It's all going to be on Brandon Miller. So that number is just going to continue to go down and down and down. So yeah, yep. I'm with you. I'd go bet it now.
All right. So throughout the show, I'm going to have this at the end of the show. I'm going to add up I'm going to find out the hold percentage of this market here.
You know what I hate about this, though? So you're rightfully so, we should be pointing out the hold percentage. But I don't care because tip of the cap to DraftKings for actually posting this, right? Nobody else has got it posted. Last one, I checked around not yesterday. I didn't see it anywhere else.
I even checked
a couple offshore books. Nobody has this posted.
And here's the thing, too, right? We've talked about this a lot when it comes to the NFL draft. And I apologize. I was a step away from my mic because I'm writing at the same time. In that, these are high. The percentage of the whole percentage on this is so high because it is a market in which they are the bookmakers at the biggest disadvantage. Now, there's probably other markets you can sift through, and probably you can complain about the pricing and whatnot. I'm not saying that DraftKings is perfect by any sense. Shout out to DraftKings.
Thanks for our paychecks, by the way.
Yes. Shout out to our corporate. Or what is you ever watch John Oliver? You ever watch Last Week Tonight?
Oh yeah.
Corporate AT&T, Business Daddy or something like that. Thank you to our business daddy. I think that's probably why the hold is the way it is on this market specifically. Because first off, you want to have a lot more options up there because there is the outside shot that one of these guys is the number two pick again. Is it probable? No, but you want to have those names up there.
Yeah,
but also. Bookmakers were just so historically burned by last year when it came to the NFL first overall pick, the NBA the first overall pick. Yep. Kelly, people keep forgetting the NHL's first overall pick also had some shenanigans when it came to the betting market. As well.
I forgot about that. Yep. You're right. All three of them.
And it's why I find this so fascinating this year for the NFL draft, for the NBA draft, and the NHL draft going forward is how these odds makers are going to handle it because it was already a market they didn't like. And clearly last year, some information got out there for all three drafts that really screwed them over. And you're going to see, I think, one of the differences is some of these online books that are still willing to hang some stuff up are going to go, okay, that's fine, but the whole percentage on these things is going to be bleeping massive.
Yeah, I agree. Because, correct me if you've heard otherwise, but almost every odds maker I've talked to over the years about drafts, and I don't care which one we're talking about, we're going to get beat. It's an event that they are basically willing to lose money on every year because people are going to come back in for other reasons to spend that money if they're winning it. But that's why we see a lot of shops have very limited options, right? Or options that you would
refuse to do it.
I mean, we get that in Vegas all the time from people that are outside of Vegas. Yeah. You're probably not seeing that as much, but yeah, there are plenty of shops here in Las Vegas. Don't hang draft props, period.
Yeah. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but South Point's not doing it, right?
Yeah. I don't think they are. They might hang first overall pick once we get closer, but that's all they're going to do. I mean, you go to DraftKings right now, there's a million NFL draft props you could bet already. The other thing I just want to mention quickly, because we did bring up this side of it, like the other way to bet this could be the Scoot Henderson third overall. That made sense a little bit when we were talking about this the other day. If you think he's going to be fine at three, I mean, I guess, you know, Woj of those guys, they're talking about Brandon Miller going up to number two and what, you know, more because of the concern of Scoot Henderson. Are we for sure that he's not right. going to slide past three? Like, I don't know that that's a certainty anymore. And as we brought up those betting odds though on Monday, now they don't make sense at all. Like, if you were thinking, what's a different way I can bet this? Well, they were a little bit more. I don't remember exactly what they were when we talked about it Monday, but, you know, there was a much bigger, you could get much longer odds for Scoot to go three than Brandon Miller to go two. So, like, that was a potential option. But Scoot Henderson to go third overall now is plus 180. Brandon Miller to go second overall is plus 185. So now you're not even thinking about that.
You know what? It's fascinating too, because we're talking about the NBA draft in March. So like this is an awesome topic, and we're opening our podcast with it too. I mean, this is an incredible thing to track now as we move forward, because this has been nuts over the last 48 hours. All right. I want to make fun of you about something really quickly before we take our break and we get to some other stuff. And we also have to go to get to MVP as well. But I'm going to harken back to Saturday. Do you remember one of the ridiculous theories that you had on Saturday?
No. Oh, you have the audio queued up?
No, I don't. I wish I did. I should go back and pull it, but I didn't remember where you had said it.
Like, do I remember every ridiculous theory I throw out there? No, I don't. I don't even know what sport we're talking about. I'm assuming the NBA, but I don't know what we're talking about.
It was the NBA. Let me take you back to last night really quickly, Kelly. And I don't know if you were watching or not, but I'll take you back, let's say about like 8:30 p.m. Pacific time. We're up in the Pacific Northwest, and it's halftime, and the Portland Trail Blazers are sitting on a 55-49 lead. And I'm like, hey, you know what? Maybe Kelly's got a point. Maybe this team can make the playoffs. And then they got outscored 42-26 in the third quarter, got absolutely smoked in the second half by the New York Knicks. This team stinks.
By that first half beast of a team that the New York Knicks are too, because we had talked about that the past week. Yeah, man. Yeah, that's fine. You can make fun of me for it, but you know what? I don't really care, because it still just goes back to my overwhelming theme of the entire Western Conference sucks.
Too much.
But the entire Western Conference sucks.
Yeah, in Portland. Yeah, Portland. I think you could stick the fork in them. I think that right now, what are they, 2-7? I think in their last nine games. Their defense is absolutely atrocious.
I've seen 3-7 last 10. So yeah, could be 2-7 last 9.
Like they're awful, and they don't have. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, the other team to throw in there that I think I'm finally sticking the fork in. You know what's funniest about you?
I know what you're going to bring up here.
Is the Blazers were only like a recent thing to me, where I'm like, you know what? This conference is so freaking terrible. You're telling me Damian Lillard can't drag some of these guys through to the playoffs. The other one I'm finally done with is the Pelicans. Like, yeah, Zion's not coming back anytime soon. And as you brought up, you know, you've done a great job bringing this up every time we've talked about it. It's just like these other guys, what's going on with you? Like, how is this team so completely changed? It's incredible.
Last night, one of the things that it's funny, you and I were talking about this before we got on the air, and it was, you know, I was bemoaning the fact that, like, recently I've been reading the market really well. Like, I've gotten some good closing line value, but it hasn't really mattered because the results just haven't gone. And yesterday, it's one of those like hilarious instances where the bets I had a couple of bets out there, good closing line value on a couple of them. The one that didn't have any like closing line value at all actually got somewhat of a worse number. Took one with the Lakers. It closed 1.5 because Brandon Ingram ended up playing.
Yeah,
you talk about smoking on a pack. Like, holy smokes, it was absolute destruction. They were up 15 at the end of the first. They outscored them 36-16 in the second, and then they just cruised to victory after that. And that's with Brandon Ingram back on the floor. Their offense, the New Orleans Pelicans offense, it stinks.
It's dreadful. It was, I don't know about you, last night was one of those nights where it was like there were multiple games I didn't understand numbers on, that being one of them, where I was like, how am I not playing the Lakers here? Like, I'm going to play this Lakers game. I don't know. That's been the NBA, though. That's been the way it's gone for the past couple weeks for me, betting-wise, at least, for games. Where, like, last night, it was Thunder, it was Lakers, and it was Bucks for me. Then I was like, all right, like, I'm betting these. I don't fully understand the numbers that are being hung on these. And they got home easily. But then there's, you know, we're going to get this. Like, tonight, I don't know that there's much I'm interested in tonight. Like there are games that there's either games that I'm really interested in or not interested at all from a betting standpoint. And tonight's got a whole lot of those.
Okay.
Hold on.
You are doing for everybody. I'll just do play by play right now. JVT is doing more work during this recording of this specific pod than I've ever seen him do during any other show that we've done together before.
Well, because I promised these things. Let me see.
You're taking the time diligently as I'm talking to make sure you're writing down notes. You're jumping from computer to computer. I don't even know what all he's doing back there, but he's doing a great job of gathering information for people. If you still need a minute, I'll just run through the card tonight.
Hold on. Actually, well, I want to save that for the other side of the break. Let's take a break real quick because we still want to hit MVP, right? And
yes.
We want to make sure that we hit the card for today. So let's take our break. We'll come back with the MVP market, and we'll hit a card that I think Kelly is right, that it's not like the sexiest card in the world. I think there's some interesting sides, including I called it the stink bowl in the column today. Which one's going to give, the Grizzlies' terrible road record or the Miami Heat's just awful ATS record?
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Here are three reasons Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch. We use food-grade ingredients. We have a wide selection of varieties, and they all come in two strengths. Find Zyn at a store near you.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
All right, we're back here, Harvard Handicappers. I will not lie. The break was not long enough to finish what my what my math problem is. I think we're at, because I'm calculating the whole percentage for that number two pick. And
yeah, whenever
I think,
JVT tosses to break, by the way, for everybody out there, we pause for 2 seconds and then just continue.
Oh, theater of the mind. We take a real break. What are you talking about?
We might as well let them into the process because I don't want them to think you're back there like spending 45 minutes working on something that's going nowhere.
So if my math is correct, that number two overall pick market, I deliver on my promises, has a hold of 35.7%.
Okay. Yep. There you go.
So that's great. All right. So let's talk about MVP. And this is another one of those fascinating conversations. And this is one that's popular, but it was similar to the number two overall pick thing, except like at a lower level, right? So Monday's podcast, we talk about like, hey, you and I are both kind of in the camp of like, I don't really understand why people aren't like the market is just being really resistant to Giannis Antetokounmpo as being like the MVP, right? And or even just tighter with Joel Embiid, right? Because he's been playing spectacular basketball. Embiid has it, he deserves a lot of credit, but you know who's been playing really good basketball for just as long a time has been Giannis, and he's coming off of two games. Giannis is. He scored a combined 82 points, grabbed 23 rebounds, and led his team to wins in Sacramento and in Phoenix, both on back-to-back, right? It was a back-to-back situation against some Western Conference contenders dealing with a sore hand. So Giannis has been freaking awesome. But
he's the best player in the NBA. Like this market, this is what it's tough. For us, the two of us, especially when we're kind of classified as NBA guys, right? It has been near impossible for me to talk about the MVP betting for like the past 4 years, because yes, I hit Jokic last year, but I had a long ticket. I had like 18 to one or something on him. Okay. So like it was a bet that I made because I thought there was value at that number. The problem is year in and year out, when we discuss this, to me, Giannis Antetokounmpo is the best player in the NBA. And I don't even really know that it's it's all that close. So it's like always when we try to discuss this stuff, I'm like, right now, I don't know about you. I don't have a single bet on any three of these guys. I have not gotten involved. I've gotten involved in this market at different times this year, but it's been on longer shot guys that I thought could work their way in.
So here, I don't have anything on any of these three guys, but I'll say this. I'm sitting back and waiting, and I will hold firm to my guns here. I'm going to bet Giannis. I'm going to bet Giannis to win this thing.
See, now I'm just mad at myself that I didn't bet it at, 9-1 or whatever. You and I were talking about it, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago?
That's when I was in California, and I was like, man, I hope this holds by the time I get back in that stupid blizzard. Global warming screwed me out of getting a ticket on Giannis Antetokounmpo at like 14-1 to win this thing. Because remember, it was right when he got hurt. Remember, it was right when he got hurt, and the market freaked out. And on that podcast, I read your report. I'm like, it sounds like he's going to play tomorrow. I don't know what's happening.
Because you and I, when we were discussing, we were looking at like DraftKings where it was like 8-9-1. And then you were right. You're in California after the show. I'm looking through odds. I'm like, dude, Circa's hanging 16-1 on this right now.
Yes.
Like there was a couple of shops in town at 14. Circa was hanging 16 at that moment.
Yep.
What was that, a week and a half ago?
Like 2 weeks ago, something like that. Whenever I took the kid to Super Mario World in Universal Studios. Seems like an eternity ago. Haven't washed my car since. It's a mess.
I want to go next time. Super Mario World. That sounds awesome.
It was all right. There was a lot of standing in lines. The concept is cool. Right, yeah. But we get distracted a lot. I was trying to see if Circa had the market back up. But anyway, so what I was setting up to was... So just like with the second overall pick, when we get done with the podcast, I get a text from Mitch Moss, and it was just Joel Embiid's winning this thing. And I was like, what? Like, where's this coming from? Like, did he have like a 70-point game and I totally missed it? And, he laid it out to me like, his recent play and all that kind of stuff. And like, oh, they're all strong points. You're not really pushing against it. But my whole point keeps being the gap between him and Giannis to win this award is not that big. And like it's crazy because I see I get the text from Mitch Rice, right? Like, hey, Joel Embiid's going to win this thing. I get a DM from my buddy Chad Andrews, who had been on the pod, about how Joel Embiid's going to win MVP. And then I see Matt Moore, who I've gotten to work with. He works at Action Network, covers the NBA, does a great job, does the betcast. And like his whole Twitter thing yesterday was like, Giannis is going to win this thing. And I'm like, holy smokes. I'm like, okay. Like we're all over the place. But we do know two things. I think we know two things, Kelly. One, Jokic... In the whatever the perception is, Jokic is slipping. The Nuggets have lost four straight. Yep. He has not been as dominant in terms of his own scoring. Some would argue he defers a little too much, and I think that might hurt, especially when people are looking to make cases against Jokic as opposed to make the case for him to win his third overall award. And I think the second thing that we know is that the probability of Giannis winning this award is much higher than the market is giving it credit for. Thus, give me Giannis Antetokounmpo. And in fact, I will declare right now on Hardwood Handicappers on Wednesday, March 15th, that Giannis Antetokounmpo is going to win MVP.
Wow. Okay. All right. So you're getting a bet in today then? That means you're getting a bet in, right?
I am going to bet it. And I am just looking for the opportunity to do so. Because here's my thing, right? Clearly the market is like wildly stubborn in what it wants to do here with Giannis. Yeah. Do I wait? Like, there's the gap between him and Joel Embiid is not moving, it seems.
So the only thing is what both of them have gotten shorter, though, right? Yes. So you are, like, he is continuously sliding that way as well. I can't decide. I still don't think I'm going to get involved from a betting standpoint. Honestly, JVT, the way I look at this one, it's much like Most Improved. This is, like... Whoever has a big game, this market like overreacts to like the next day. If, Most Improved, we talked about guys like, okay, cool, Brunson misses a game. And like these odds overadjust. I just think it's you've brought it up a couple times. It's a season long, all these are season long awards. And now that we're getting down to this the final stretch. It's kind of odd to me how much we see odds move after one guy misses a game or after one guy has a big game compared to someone's like mediocre game. So I don't know. As far as the best Giannis number, like he could win the award and maybe we still aren't seeing the longest odds you're going to get on him. Cause who knows, maybe Jokic and Embiid have a couple more big games here over the next week. That number gets even longer. And then, okay, Giannis goes on a huge run and wins. The one thing I'm just going to keep bringing up though, when we talk about Nikola Jokic, I understand the 76ers and the Bucks have better teams around them. I understand that. But if Denver's first in the West and his on-off numbers continue to be what they are, like, it's silly. I can't argue with any of the three of these guys winning this award at this point, and I know that's a crappy non-take from me. Just like
declare. I made a declaration that Giannis was going to win. Call your shot right now. Who's winning?
Giannis Antetokounmpo is the best player in the NBA. I don't know that they're going to give him that award.
This is you. You're playing. You're sitting on the fence. Let's go. Declare. Who's winning it?
Nikola Jokic will win MVP.
Okay, there we go. Okay, so here's the thing. And here it is.
He's not the best player though.
And this is a totally representative sample size. Neither one of us picked Joel Embiid.
Yeah. Neither one of us.
Thus, there's value. I will say, I was just looking around. William Hill Caesars now? I always get so confused.
Yeah, William Hill Caesars.
William Hill Caesars has Giannis at 4-1. That's the best price that I could find out there.
Okay.
And I think that's play. It goes back to our conversation about the second overall pick, right? Did you miss out on the best number? Yes. Was I in California, right? And whatever, it was 14-1, and I was getting pissed because I missed out on the best number? Sure. But do I still make the probability of Giannis winning the award higher than what the market currently has? So thus, do I still find value in like 4-1? I think so.
Then boom, you make the bet.
That'd be great. Can't wait till Jason Tatum wins the award. Right? You think my Carl Anthony Towns ticket at 75-1 still got some life? What do you think?
Oh, yeah, I was going to say. He's about to come back. I haven't bet on any of the three of those guys, but oh boy, do I got some MVP bets we could go through real quick. How about Anthony Davis at 40-1 from December?
Okay.
There's a couple of Kevin Durant's in there at 40 and 30.
Oh, I've got Steph Curry. I've got Kevin Durant.
Yeah. I got Trae Young preseason 42-1. I think that's it. That's it. MVP. That's my MVP portfolio right now. A lot of paper for the old furnace.
Yeah. I'm trying to see if I got anything good. I want to see if I can find. There's a Kevin Durant bet.
I have multiple Kevin Durant ones.
I'm going to find like a Paul George MVP bet in here, I'm sure. Kawhi Leonard.
The one I like is the Tyrese Maxey bets that I have, where like Tyrese Maxey somehow isn't going to win like any award yet. I feel like he deserves half these awards if they were all just worded slightly differently.
He should get the jerked around a lot award because he's a starter now again. Like
best player that's been held out of winning an award because of his own coach.
So that's a perfect segue into the card tonight, because that is one of the bets that I did make here. And it was a topic that I brought up to you over the weekend. And yeah. I sat out the sidelines in the game against Washington because I felt like that was not a matchup that was conducive to a high scoring affair. And that was the case, that game against Washington went under the total. But I'm kind of going to ride this Philadelphia 76ers over train until until the market really catches up with it. So this game today, Kelly, it's an interesting game, obviously. There is a three-game gap between these two. Philadelphia, of course, is only now a game behind the Boston Celtics, who I want to talk about momentarily because I know that Drew Dinsick was on with you guys, and I disagree to a certain extent with something he said about the Boston Celtics. But I played this game over 219.5. It's up to like 222 now, 221.5. Again, I'll just reiterate, since Tyrese Maxey's been back in the starting lineup at the beginning of March, offensive rating of over 130, but a defensive rating of over 120. So they're outscoring their opponents by a large amount, but their defense has gotten worse. Jarrett Allen is dealing with his eye injury, likely not going to play here today either, which helps things immensely when it comes to Joel Embiid scoring. He's been averaging 37 since the start of March as well. I thought 219.5 was pretty low for one, Philly, who I think is going to have good offensive success, and two, for Cleveland, who's going to be able to take advantage with their backcourt of that, we'll call it softish defensive backcourt of James Harden and Tyrese Maxey. So over 219.5 is what I bet today.
Yeah, I think softish is completely fair. The I was going to ask you, so Jarrett Allen, I mean, I'm seeing him as questionable. You've seen stuff that looks
I read a report from Cleveland that they felt like they were lucky that it wasn't a long-term deal. His eye got scuffed pretty hard. And he's questionable, and maybe they tried to force it out there because this is a big game and they need him against Joel Embiid. But everything that I have read coming out of Cleveland is essentially he is one-eyed right now. And if you remember, Darius Garland suffered an injury that kept him out to his eye, I think, 3 weeks, something like that, 2 weeks, somewhere in that range? Yep. That it was an injury somewhat similar to that, just not as severe. So
I'll be honest, there's not a ton of like on the card tonight. I think your reasoning has been, it's been proven. It's been proven with your 76ers and the overs. That's a low total. I'm going to wait to see that final injury report. I don't even care if I miss a couple points. there, because it's a fairly low total. JVT, yep. Right? 221.5 to 222.
And here's the thing.
If Jarrett, like, this is where you have to approach games too by a matchup versus matchup status when you're talking about those kind of players like Joel Embiid, right? Like Jarrett Allen missing this game is massive from that standpoint of how you're going to defend Joel Embiid. It completely changes. So I think I might tell you and ride along on that over when I see that Allen is out.
And I would not if Allen ends up playing, does this total go back to like the opening number 219.5? And maybe am I like a point high because it closes like 218.5? There's a chance. But keep in mind that in their most recent matchup, with Jarrett Allen out there, they held Joel Embiid to 29 points on 9 of, like, I think it was 21 shooting. So, like, he had a relatively successful game either way. So
yeah, okay. Well, there you go. How about, I got news coming down right now. I think I seen another.
Oh, boy, Joel Embiid's not playing. Let me guess.
No, injury designation where we have a questionable to a doubtful move. Okay, Jarrett Allen listed out. He is listed out. So, you know,
all right,
what?
Cool.
I'm going to bet that right now. While
that might even, and you know what? And the market does this all the time. Oh. That might make this thing close like 223.5.
The one I was going to bring up, I was just going to check injury stuff, but the one I was going to bring up is we have a Kyrie Irving questionable to doubtful move.
Did you cut out doubtful?
Yeah, questionable to doubtful, and we already know Luka tonight. Yeah, he's out.
Yep,
he's out tonight. Yep. So you're going to have a Spur. I know this is what we've talked about before. Mavericks, Spurs. Is this an under scenario or a Spurs situation with both of those guys being out? Me and you were texting about that. I mean, this Mavericks team without either of those guys on the court. Oh, it is awful.
Yeah, the Spurs are not the most resistant defensive team. So, like, you know, perhaps that this is not the underplay. But I'll tell you this, the way that San Antonio is playing, again, like, I keep writing about it every day. I don't know why people are going to the well to try to fade these tanking teams.
Yeah.
The Rockets the other day beat the Boston Celtics outright. The Spurs have been winning games against some quality competition like the Orlando Magic, who the luster has fallen, like, worn completely off of the Orlando Magic recently.
I'm just trying to get my over 28.5.
Yeah.
I think I need like two more wins, but I've been sitting on that for a while.
Yeah. But I think I'd rather go Spurs like money line or something in that range if Kyrie Irving's not going to play in that game. How about that, too?
You can still catch 5 points.
Yep.
Catch 5 points at, no, 5.5. 5.5 at home. And I'm in on over 221.5. Good call.
2.5 games. See, here's the thing. This is, I'm glad we brought this up. I just want to reiterate really quickly. The Spurs have been winning games. In the loss column, because that's what matters, right? It's about making up losses in this thing.
Yep.
50 losses for the San Antonio Spurs. 49 for the Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah.
San Antonio could win their way out of one of the three shots of 14% at the number one overall pick.
Man, they need to start resting.
I'm just saying, watch out for Kelly Oubre and Terry Rozier and Gordon Hayward to start racking up some maybe sore knees and wrists and elbows. Yeah. And because if I'm Charlotte, I smell blood in the water, dude. We are one loss behind San Antonio, who still is, you know, Greg Popovich is just, he's a good coach. He's going to get some stuff out of these guys. I'm just saying, keep an eye out on that. I think Charlotte should, if they're smart, I mean, they're hitting the button. They're done.
Yes. Yeah. No, you're totally right.
I mean, I can't wait to watch
that.
What
is that? That's the 3% drop, right?
It's a 1.5% drop. It goes from 14% to 12.5%. Okay. But any little percentage counts.
But still, yeah. It's still huge.
Okay. Wanted to hit two more games before we get out of here. First of which is, and really this is just an overall point, and I wanted to get your thoughts on if I'm reading this quickly, because it's, again, it's one of those line reading things that I like to do. But first off, I mentioned Drew Dinsick, and Drew's not the only one that has put voice to this. But so the Celtics come in, Kelly, they're 3-5 straight up and against spread their last 8 games. And yes, did they lose to the Houston Rockets outright the other day because Tatum was too strong on a layup? Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
But I find it the discourse around Boston now kind of funny, because their slump coincides with Milwaukee just tearing up the entire NBA. And by the way, this is now flashing 223 at multiple spots for Philly Cleveland. So a pretty good read there, and that'll probably continue to climb. I just find it funny that we're kind of out now on Boston after an 8-game stretch. Like, it's a long season, man. And their offense is tied to shooting. And even during this 8-game stretch, their defensive rating has actually still been above average. Like, and they haven't had Robert Williams for five straight games. I would very much, because I know Dinsick brought up like Missoula and how he wasn't really that impressed with him anymore. And that's the one part where I was like, let's relax a little bit. Like he's done a pretty good job here.
You know, from what he was saying, I think he was just more voicing his concern at that this is coming at this time, because what he was saying was he still believes they're the team set up best in the East to win it all from a roster standpoint. He was just concerned basically what this current slump hitting at this time kind of against the teams that it has is kind of what he was bringing up. So I think you can say that about Denver too, right? Like Boston and Denver, like this is not great times for this to be happening to you, especially while, like you said, Milwaukee's tearing it up completely.
And so I bring up this game because I think it's really interesting. So I'll go through my exercise again. You tell me if I'm reading this properly once more, because the Celtics were on my short list of plays to potentially make here.
I got three games circled. They're one of them too.
Okay, cool. So then let's walk through this really quickly. So five is the number for Boston, but I will take you to recent opponents because they're taking on the Timberwolves today, right? Atlanta was just a 5.5-point favorite at home against Minnesota the other day, okay? Yep. They also closed catching 5.5 at home against Boston. So that line, so what that means is, so the
Which
line,
bet,
for,
right?
Right.
We yep, both yep. bet. That was Saturday.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. But that line, the exercise here for those who are listening is, so the line for Atlanta, Minnesota, would tell us that Atlanta is, at the very least, the market thinks, 2.5 points better on a neutral than the Minnesota Timberwolves. And yet, the Celtics, on the road, just like they were against Atlanta on Saturday, are laying the exact same number they were laying to the Atlanta Hawks, the team that the market said was 2.5 points better than those Minnesota Timberwolves. And on top of that, this is what makes it even more interesting for Boston, because if you're doing that one-to-one translation, this should be a 7.5-point spread for the Celtics here, but it's not. And what makes it even more fascinating, Kelly, is Rudy Gobert, Austin Rivers are both questionable for this game. So there's a chance that this number closes even lower than the five if those guys are going to be ruled as active. So the case I'm making here is I think we're starting at a point of buying low here for the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, I think we're getting there too. This was one I had circled. I didn't want to... I wasn't going to jump on the Celtics yet, but if I could beat that number move, if some of those guys get ruled out, you know, Gobert gets ruled out, I think he matters more in a matchup, you know, in a matchup like this, you know, than on some other nights with Robert Williams not in the lineup for Boston. Well, I'm going to wait and see on that, but I had the same thought as well, and the one that I kind of immediately jumped to was the situation we bet Boston against Atlanta. You know, that was less than a week ago, laying the same kind of number. Mm-hmm. I'm with you. That is a game that, and look, that's one also, I'll try to beat the number if some of those guys get ruled out. I'll try to beat the move on the number if some of those guys get ruled out. Otherwise, I'll look live, because I'm with you. I think that theory is I don't know if the market's properly, I don't even want to say the market. It's what they've done recently. They probably kind of deserve these numbers right now, but that doesn't mean you, as a bettor, you can't take advantage of it on catching them on the upswing finally, right? Like, they are going to swing back. They're not going to continue to play sub 500 basketball.
And the other swing, and I'm curious, because you said you had three circled, is one of them Sacramento, Chicago?
Yep, that was the third.
And would the team be Chicago?
No, it wouldn't. It would be Sacramento. And the reason I'll bring up why, JVT, is because the Alex Caruso questionable tag tonight.
Oh, I didn't see that. Okay. That makes sense.
If you're going to tell me what, you know, if you're going to tell me I could get the Kings, you know, around to pick them with one of the best perimeter defenders out of the game, then yeah, it's probably a bet on Sacramento or look live situation for me. I understand where you were going though. I got it.
Yeah, no, because I think it's the inverse of Boston, right? Like, the market's wildly impressed with Sacramento, and they've won some really big games. Like, they've been great. Yeah. The Knicks win at home, going on the road to beating Phoenix, being very competitive but showing their flaws. By the way, that was a great call by you. I think we talked about that on Hardwood Handicappers that day. No answer for Giannis. And in the second half, the Bucks, that was a second half bet for me, and the Bucks ended up walking away in the second half there. But I think the market's kind of getting now to the point where maybe the rating is too high. But to your point, I didn't see that Caruso had popped up on the injury report. So if he's not going to play, that's going to be a little bit of a loss. All right. Was there a game that we missed? because there's one last game.
That was everything, man. I think this is, even from a viewing standpoint, like, look, Sixers-Cavs is great.
Warriors-Clippers? This is my last one that I was going to ask you.
But, like, okay, so you got those two games, and, like, honestly, not that much else on the day before the NCAA tournament starts. Like, This should be when you have, like, a pretty nice card.
I'll ask you this. Do we just auto-fade the Warriors on the road?
Like, it's
crazy. It's crazy.
It's crazy. But, John, man, I want nothing to do betting on or against either one of those teams.
No, I got to read for my boys. Don't worry about this. These Clippers, boy.
Okay. So are you on that tonight or not?
No, absolutely not. I've been let down too many times by the Los Angeles Clippers. But I'll tell you what, that's a clear out the living room special.
You are right. I misspoke initially. I will be looking forward to watching that game tonight, but my guy, I have no interest in betting that at all. I wouldn't want to bet your money on that game.
Here's the thing, and you know, obviously I'm a Clippers fan, so it's a clear out their living room special. But like all of these games, because the Western Conference is so jumbled up, all these West games just carry so much weight. The Warriors Suns game the other night, like when you're seeing the Suns like kind of claw their way back into it and eventually fall short, but you're like, dude, like this is great. Like these teams need these wins. And the Clippers, who are just barely a game ahead of the play-in right now and would love to kind of climb their way back up, like, oh, dude, it's
massive.
These games are freaking great. And I got to make sure, hold on, because the other thing, and to add to the weight of this game, is the fact that the Clippers have lost like every notable tiebreaker to these teams that are ahead of them in the West. This is the one where I think they still have a shot at winning a tiebreaker if they're going to beat the Warriors here today. Yeah, so this is for the tiebreaker, essentially, because this is their last matchup, and they have split the first two. With two teams that are 5-6, this game is huge when it comes to the final standings by the time we get to 12 games from now. So it's a big one. It's a big one.
Yeah, it is. It is.
All right.
Maybe we should start doing this every time. The quick recap of the pod. What did we learn on today's podcast? Brandon Miller still has value at number two overall. Is that what we're saying that, right?
Yeah.
MVP, neither JVT or I are going with Joel Embiid. We have two completely different choices on who we think is going to win that award. JVT with Giannis, myself with Nikola Jokic. And as far as tonight's games go, we are both now on Philadelphia and Cleveland over.
I can't wait. I've got over 219.5. It's going to close 223.5, and it's going to be like a 212 rock fight. So it's going to be, this has been the run for me lately, and you know, I cannot wait to watch it. And you know what's weird? Can I just say
you'll somehow see Mobley like locked down and beat the entire game. You're like, what? How's this happening? He weighs 100 pounds less than him.
We'll have to save this conversation for, I think it's a bigger topic, but you know, like the column, and the best bets in the column have not been doing well this year. And I'm planning on writing like a recap column of like what went wrong, because I've been tracking all the plays and I know all this kind of stuff. And I think it's a really good idea to kind of recap what happened. But, you know, one of the topics is going to be like, there's this inherent debate about closing line value and how worthless it is, because all that matters is that you win. And I got to say, I don't agree with that. But these last couple of weeks, I'm starting to waver. I'll tell you that.
I think you're right. We could have a longer conversation on that, though. My short, quick point of it is, look, if I have usually overnight betting, it's just limited on your options anyways because of how many games even have lines up, because of how many guys are constantly listed on injury reports in the NBA, right? And At least for me, I love betting overnights, just like I know you bet overnights too, and that leads to us getting CLV often, but I'm only ever doing it on games that I'm pretty darn certain on who's playing it. You know, if there's any game where it's pretty questionable one side or the other, I'm waiting until the next day.
All right, Kellen, as always, like, rate, review, subscribe for the pod. We appreciate anybody and everybody who's been listening. We've been getting some good feedback on the newly revamped Hardwood Handicappers with Kelly alongside permanently, so always enjoy that positive feedback. And remember, because it is March Madness in the NCAA tournament, you can handicap the hardwood in different ways, college game. And make sure you check out everything we have to offer up on the website, VSiN.com. The guys over in the College Basketball Betting Podcast have been doing a tremendous job there too. So make sure you check that out and everything else we have to offer, because we are getting you set up for the tournament. And of course, it doesn't just stop with the round of 64. It goes throughout the entirety of the NCAA tournament. So for Kelly, Steven, of course, who is helping us behind the scenes, myself, we will talk to you on Friday here on Hardwood Handicappers.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.